Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Jesus, Moses, and an elderly gentleman, they were out playing golf. And Moses gets up to the tee box, tees off, hits the ball, and it flies into the pond. Moses walks up to the pond, and just like it did with the Red Sea, the pond parts. He walks in with his club, he hits it, and it just goes to the right of the green, just a little bit off to the side. Jesus says, "Hey, good shot." Moses says, "Thanks." Now it's Jesus' turn. So Jesus walks up, he tees off, and his ball flies into the pond. A terrible shot, just like Moses. But Jesus walks up to the pond, and he walks on the water. The ball floats to the top. He hits the ball and it lands on the green. And Moses says, "Hey, good shot." And Jesus says, "Thanks." Now the elderly gentleman, he gets up, and of the three, he hits the worst shot of them all. It goes about 40 yards, and all of a sudden a huge gust of wind comes up, and it blows it into the pond. About 30 seconds later, this giant carp jumps up from the pond with the ball in his mouth, a 3-foot jump, and at its apex, a starling flies out of the woods, snatches the ball from the carp's mouth, and he takes it 220 yards down the fairway, plops it on the green, it bounces, and it lands 6 inches from the hole, at which point a squirrel runs down from the tree, runs over to the ball, nudges it in, and gives the man a hole in one. Jesus looks over and says, "Nice shot, Dad." Welcome to our Faithfulness of God series. I wish God was that faithful to me when I played golf, you know. I end up at the pond and I stay there. But no, we're glad to have you. We're looking at Joshua chapter 3 and 4 as we go through the book of Joshua. And today we're going to look at a miracle in these chapters that rivals Moses' parting of the Red Sea. That's why we got that story. I had to tie that in there. But it rivals it. And what a lot of people don't realize is that God performed a miracle here that you really don't realize, but it's like the Red Sea that parted. It's the parting of the Jordan River. We're going to take a look at that today as we talk about how God is faithful to lead us. Faithfulness of God, that's our theme for 2025. And this morning as we talk about God's faithful to lead, I want you to look in your notes. We need to let God order our steps and our stops. It's both our steps and our stops. There are times God tells you to move ahead. There are times God tells you to stop. Sometimes it is stop and never go there. Sometimes it's stop and wait. But we need to be letting God lead us because he's faithful to lead, and he wants to lead our steps and our stops. When we do not allow God to lead, it's disastrous. 11 days. Say 11 days. If you're here watching online, good to have you. Just type that in the chat section. 11 days. 11 days is what it takes to walk about 177 miles. That's the distance from the East Ridge Mall down to Cheyenne. It's also the same distance from Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the law, to Kadesh Barnea, the southern edge of the Promised Land, where God wanted Israel to walk in. They should have entered the Promised Land 11 days after they left Mount Sinai. Instead, it took them 40 years, all because they did not follow God's leading. When God said, "Go in the Promised Land," they were afraid of the giants in the land, and they didn't go in. Can you imagine taking 40 years to get to Cheyenne? Well, that's a bummer of a road trip, isn't it? But that's what happened to Israel. 40 years to go to Cheyenne. No, that's not the Promised Land, all right? But 40 years to go the distance to the Promised Land. Not only did they not enter the Promised Land, but they all died in the desert. Conservative estimates placed the population of Israel at a minimum of 2 million people. The reason they say that is we're told in the Bible there were 603,000 and some odd fighting men, soldiers, those who were 20 years and older who could fight. plus the Levites, those of the tribe of Levi who were consecrated to the priests, they were unnumbered. They weren't taken in that. And then the elderly men who couldn't fight. So there's over 600,000 men right there. Now, if you roughly say, just say for estimation purposes, each one was married, that's 1.2 million. If each of them had just one kid, one child, which would be a very conservative estimate, you're at 1.8. So you've got about 2 million, there could have been 3, 4, 5 million Israelites, but all of the adults died out in the wilderness. Let's just say that 2 million died in the wilderness. If you average 2 million deaths over 40 years, that's a death every 10 and a half minutes. That's a lot of death. That's what happened because Israel refused to follow the leading of God. When you and I don't follow God's leading, it is disastrous for us. This morning, I want to give you several lessons about following the leading of the Lord, all right? Lessons on the Lord's leading. Number one in your notes is that God still leads us even when we make a wrong turn. God still leads us even when you and I make a wrong turn. Even though Israel refused to enter the promised land, God still led them. He gave them manna for 40 years. He gave them water from a rock. A rock followed them throughout the desert and gave them water to drink for these millions of people. Not only that, but God gave them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And wherever the pillar of cloud went, when it stepped, the people stepped. When the cloud stopped, the people stopped. God ordered their steps and their stops even when they made a wrong turn. And you might be here in the house or watching online and you've made a wrong turn in your life. You say, man, I've screwed up royally. I've made a huge mess of things. Friends, all you need to do is surrender yourself to God's leading. He's here. He will continue to lead you. Just because you've made one mistake, no matter how great or how little it is, that doesn't mean God has stopped being faithful and he won't lead you. He is willing to lead as long as you are willing to follow. He still leads us even though we make a wrong turn. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the last part of the verse says, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you glad for that? That God never leaves us, even when we decide not to follow him. He never leads us. He's always there waiting for us to turn back to him. That's the first lesson we learn about God's leading. The second one in your notes this morning is many times we face obstacles as we follow God's leading. Many times we face obstacles when we follow God's leading. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, it says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. God says enter the promised land, but they're at the Jordan River. They have to cross a river to get into the promised land. There's just one problem. We're told in verse 15, if you go to verse 15, it tells us that the Jordan always overflows its banks during harvest. This was in the springtime. There was two harvests, a springtime harvest and a fall harvest in April. That's when the harvest took place, April to early May. It's flood stage in Israel because it's the rainy season, and also Mount Hermon, which is at the north end of the Jordan River, as the snow melts on Mount Hermon and comes down, the Jordan River overflows its banks. Bible scholars say that at the place where this was near Jericho, the Jordan River was 10 to 12 feet deep, and the current was very, very strong, making it very difficult to get over. If you were a strong swimmer, you could get across, but how are they going to get their wives across, their children, their livestock, all of their belongings? So God says, go into the promised land, but now you're facing this impossible river in its flood stage to get across. And friends, there are many times when God is going to lead us and tell us to do something, but we encounter a problem. There's some obstacle that seems to be blocking us. And what I've seen many people do is when they encounter that obstacle, they say, well, I must have not heard from God, and they quit and they stop trying. Sometimes when you don't know what to do, Go back and do the last thing God told you to do. What's the last thing he said to do? Go back and do what God has told you to do. Many times as God leads us, we face obstacles. I have faced obstacles as I have followed God's leading. My very first position in ministry, I was a youth pastor in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I came there, and the previous youth pastor, he had left 2 years before, and the reason they dismissed him is because he had been having an affair with a girl in the youth group for 6 years, started when she was in junior high, went through college, and it was only discovered because back in those days there was no cell phones. The youth pastor's wife saw all these long-distance phone calls to California where this girl was at, and it was uncovered. Now, the youth group that I came into was junior high, high school, and college age. The college students who grew up under Pastor Steve, the youth pastor, he was all fun and games. They loved him. They were really loyal to him. In the 2 years that had transpired between him and myself coming, there was the youth sponsors kind of rose up, and one was a single lady, a junior high school teacher, kind of became a leader, and so all the high schoolers really rallied around her, and they were kind of loyal and followed her. The junior hires, well, you know, junior hires, they're not loyal to anything. You're not thinking of anything right now. But I come in not realizing the obstacle that this set up, that there's no trust for the youth pastor. A lot of the kids and all the sponsors are allied to the youth sponsor who was leading. The college kids don't want the meat of the word. They want the milk. And it was just, there was all these different spheres and factors going on. And it was difficult, and I didn't realize it going into it. I was oblivious. And it was like, God, what have you got me into? The 4 years later, when we left, and we left on good terms. I mean, it was awesome. The youth group grew. It was great. But God says, Craig, I want you to be a senior pastor. So we ended up moving to Sioux City, Iowa. And I was a rookie greenhorn lead pastor, senior pastor. I hadn't done that. I'm there 4 months. And I'm at this meeting in town. And there was a gentleman. He says, oh, so you pastor a church? I says, yeah. And he says, what church is it? And I say, Central Assembly of God. Oh, that's Elmer Yates's church. Now, Elmer Yates founded the church over 20 years earlier. He started the church, and this church was kind of like a Jesus people church. If you've seen the movie Jesus Revolution, that's the kind of church it was. They ministered to runaways, drug addicts. They had a halfway house for guys and for gals. And God was moving in powerful ways, transforming lives so much that the town newspaper came out and did a full-page news story. Not an ad that the church ran, but the paper heard what was happening. They came out and ran a full-page story with pictures, not once, but twice. God was moving in a powerful way, but Pastor Yates had an affair with his secretary, left his wife. He was dismissed from the ministry, but he went and started his own church in town, and the church fragmented. One-third of the church went with him, one-third stayed, and one-third just dropped off the face of the earth, and they went nowhere. And 20 years later, I'm four pastors later. There's three pastors before me, and it's Pastor Yates's church. And as I began to discover in town, that's what people knew the church I was now leading as. It's Pastor Yates's church, and I'm a rookie greenhorn pastor. And it's like, God, we've got to reshape the reputation of this church. The perception is bad. It's negative. And it's like, God, what have you got me into? I was following his leading, but I met obstacles. When I came here 15 years ago, I encountered obstacles. Friends, whenever you follow God's leading, it's not level paths and a carnival ride. Well, actually, it might be a carnival ride. Up and down and side to side. No, I got to throw up. You know, somebody stop the world. I want to get off. Many times when you and I follow God's leading, he leads us into obstacles. And it might seem like a Jordan River at flood stage. It might seem impossible. But the thing is, when You've been following God's leading. You've got to trust him and not abandon the leading that he told you. Because if you do, you short-circuit the plan that he wants to work out in your life. You'll miss out on the promised land, that new ground, that new territory that he wants to give you. So don't give up when you face obstacles. That's the second lesson that we learn about the Lord's leading. The third lesson we see this morning, number three in your notes, is we find God's leading as we pursue his presence. We find God's leading as we pursue his presence. Does that sound familiar? That was our theme for last year, right? 2024, pursue his presence. Take a look at Joshua chapter 3. We're at verse 1. He rose up early in the morning. They left Acacia, came to Jordan. Verse 2, it was after 3 days, the officers went through the camp. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Go after the Ark. Pursue the Ark. Yet there shall be a space between you and the Ark about 2,000 cubits by measure. 2,000 cubits is about 900 meters, just a little over a half a mile. And then God goes on, he says, he told Moses, tell him, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. The Ark of the Covenant was symbolic of the presence of God. The Ark itself physically was a wooden box made of acacia wood. It was overlaid in gold inside and out. The lid was overlaid with gold, and on it there were two angels. They were called cherubim, and they had their wings spread out facing each other, towards each other, and up in heaven, up towards heaven in worship to God. And so this was the Ark of the Covenant, and God, Israel saw that God stayed there. When they lost the Ark in a war later on, they talk about how they named it Ichabod, meaning the glory of the Lord has departed. They lost the glory of God. The Ark was the presence of God, and God said, you need to follow my presence. You need to follow me, but he said, keep a distance. The reason he wanted a half-mile distance is because if you've got 2 million people all crowding, pressing against the Ark, those who are in the back are not going to be able to see it. But by there being a distance when the Ark stops and there is some space, everybody passing by is going to see the Ark. It's not going to be obstructed. Because God didn't want the people to blindly follow the next person in front of them. God wanted them to follow him. And I've seen a lot of times Christians, they don't know what to do. And now here's the thing. We are a community. We're the body of Christ. There is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. It is smart to go get godly advice from other people. But friends, that wisdom you give should be a confirmation of what you sense God leading you. And if it's not, then you might want to stop. But I've seen too many people, instead of taking time praying, seeking God, getting in the Word, say, Lord, reveal to me what you want, they just go to everybody else trying to find out what they should do. Don't go to other people for God's direction for your life. I heard of a story. There was this young guy in Bible college, and he went to the prayer room, and he was praying, and he was known for praying these really loud prayers at night that woke everybody up in the dorm. He'd go really late. So a bunch of guys, they got together, and they went up into the ceiling tiles about the time when they knew he was going to be there, about a half hour before, and they were situated. And the guy was calling out to God, what do you want me to do? And they says, hey, go to Africa. And he's going, whoa, God spoke to me. No, God didn't speak to him. It was other people. But there are some people, they take what other people say and they think it's the voice of God. It's really important for you to get on your knees and seek God for the direction for your life. Nobody else can really tell you that. They can confirm it or give you a check and cause you to say, hey, should I watch out in stepping this? But you need to seek it for yourself. It's interesting, but the Ark, there was three items that were contained in the Ark. And there's three things that they symbolize that we receive when we pursue the presence of God. It's in your notes. First, there was a copy of the Ten Commandments, and this symbolizes God's principles. When you and I seek the ark, seek the presence of God, one of the best ways to do that is get into His Word. And as you read the Word and you pursue His presence through the Word of God, He gives you His principles of how to live. And God's going to show you things. I remember when I was in high school, I'd been praying for years. I felt maybe God was calling me to ministry, but I wasn't sure. And I wanted it to be God's idea, not my own. And my pastor said, Craig, read the Bible. Read the Bible and ask God to give you a word from God to give you direction. And so I did. And one day in my devotions, I came to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it said. It says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judged the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And as I was reading that, the words on the page, it was like they popped up on a 2-inch pedestal, and I just sensed the Holy Spirit say in an inaudible voice, this is it. And I knew that I knew that I knew that God had called me to enter into ministry. It was because of reading His Word. Now, that is the only time in my life where the Word has popped off the page like that, and I've heard the inaudible voice of God. It's not like it happens every week. But I can tell you what happens almost every week when I read the Word. I do have thoughts. God, you need to forgive me of sin for this. Or God, I need to start doing this. Or God, I need to be cautious and look out for this. God speaks to me through His Word, and He guides me and leads me through His Word. But if you've got a severe life-changing decision, say, God, give me a word. My father and mother-in-law, they were praying about what to do, and they came to a verse, and it says, go west to the mountains. And that was confirmation to them that they were to leave where they were and to go out to Oregon. I mean, God can use almost any verse in the Bible to direct you if you need it. Follow the principles of God. He'll direct you not just the steps to take, but the stops to make, and He'll show you how to live everywhere in between. The principles of God. The second thing that was in the Ark of the Covenant was a pot of manna. That bread that they had been fed for 40 years, and this was symbolic of God's provision. When you seek the presence of God, He will provide for you. He will give you everything you need. And then the last thing that was in the ark was Aaron's rod that budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. And that represents the power of God. There was a challenge against Moses and Aaron and their leadership. Many people thought we should be leading. And God said, tell everyone to throw their rods to put them in the tabernacle and into the presence of God. And the next day, only Aaron's had budded and it produced almonds. And so this was a symbol of the power of God. And so that's what we need to do in our lives. When you pursue the presence, realize God's going to give you His power, He's going to give you His provision, and He's going to give you principles to live by. That is what we need to do if you really want God's leading. Pursue His presence. Another lesson about God's leading, number 4 in your notes, is following God's guidance requires consecration. It requires consecration, setting ourselves apart to God. Verse 5 of Joshua 3, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify means to cleanse yourself, to purify yourself, to make yourself holy. They were to spend time in His presence, praying, worshiping, confessing any sin, saying, God, reveal to me. Lord, they would ceremonially wash themselves and abstain from relations with their spouse. As a symbol of God, we want you, intimacy with you more than we want intimacy with anyone else. And they dedicated themselves to God. If you and I want to be led by God, we need to be people who are holy and not deliberately, intentionally living in sin. Because here's what happens. When you and I intentionally live in sin and we know we're doing wrong, we are saying no to the leading of God. He convicts us of sin and we say no. Why would God give us anything more to do if we're already disobeying what He's told us to do? So if I want to follow the leading of God, I really need to be a person who's examining my life. David said, "Search me, O God. Know my heart, I pray." When David sinned with Bathsheba, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit." When he had done wrong, and God forgave him. And you might be here today, and you have committed some horrible sin. You've been rebelling, rejecting against God. But I want you to know that no matter what it is, if you cry out with a sincere heart, "God, forgive me, create in me a clean heart, give me a new spirit," he'll do that for you. Because he's a God who gives mercy and grace to thousands. That's the kind of God he is. He's a God who is defined by love. God is love. And he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to take our sin away. And we just need to surrender our lives to his leadership. He'll forgive us, give us a relationship, and then he'll lead us through life. God is faithful to lead. We need to consecrate ourselves. Number five, don't ask others to go if you won't go. Don't ask someone to go do something that God's spoken to you about if you're not willing to do it. We see this in verse 6 when Joshua spoke to the priests, and he says, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people." And so the priest took the Ark of the Covenant, and they went before the people. Remember, the river is at flood stage. Can you imagine what would have happened if Joshua says, "Okay, everybody, walk into the river." And you've got this raging river at flood stage. I mean, any takers out there? I don't want to do that. So Joshua says, "Hey, priests, leaders, we're doing this first." Where the ark went in, the presence of God. And when the priest touched the river, the Jordan piled up, it heaped up. And think of it, this is the difference between the Red Sea and a river. The Red Sea is just a body of water. It opens up, there's two walls of water on each side, and Israel passes through. But with this, a river is coming downstream, and so it piles up, and there is continual water that keeps coming, that feeds it. And so this wall of water gets higher and further back and wider and deeper. It's just piling up, and it goes back for miles. And next week, we're going to talk about the importance of that as we see how that played out, what that did to the inhabitants of the Promised Land. But on the other side, the riverbed completely dries up, and it's dry ground so the people can go across. But it only happened when the leaders, the priests, were willing to do it. And here's the thing. In our lives, when I follow the leading of God, I need to set the example and not just kind of hang back and say, "Well, that's great. God's told us to do it. You do it." No. When God says to do something, we lead the way. And we trust him that when we put our feet in the river, that he's going to part it and he's going to dry it up, and he will make a way where there seems to be no way. He is the way maker. Number six this morning, where God guides, God provides. That's probably one of my favorite principles out of these leading lessons of God, is where God guides, God provides. In verse 7, it says, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you.'" Verse 13, "It shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, they'll stand as in a heap." Chapter 4, verse 14, "On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life." When we started this series, we saw in chapter 1 how God said to Moses, and really all the people, "Everywhere you go, I'm going to give you the land. Everything I said to Moses, I'm saying it to you." Now, it's one thing for somebody to say something, but it's another thing to prove it. And I don't think, if there's anyone who had any doubt, this Joshua guy, I don't know about him. Is he really the one to lead us in the promised land? I mean, He hasn't done any miracles. All the miracles were Moses. But now, with this instance here in Joshua 3 and 4, the Lord gives Joshua his Moses moment. He gives him his supernatural miracle. And it's just vaguely familiar. All those, at the time, they were kids, under 20 years, kids and teenagers who walked through the Red Sea, and they're now the adults. And I can just imagine, when they see the Jordan River stop and the waters pile up, and they're going, oh, wow, I remember when that happened 40 years ago. Okay, Joshua, he is the man. Yes, God is with us. And in that moment, Joshua was exalted in the people's eyes, as Moses was. If Joshua needed some confirmation in the people, anyone who was doubting him, God gave it to him. Where God guides, God provides. What's God leading you to do in your life? And maybe you say, I don't have the resources. I don't have the abilities. Friends, whatever God leads you to do, he will provide it. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. We talked about that in the past few weeks. God will give you what you need as you follow his leading. Because God is faithful to lead. He wants to lead your steps and your stops. The last lesson we learn about the Lord's leading, number 7, remember how God has graciously guided you. Remember how God has graciously guided you. Israel was a forgetful people. After leaving Egypt under the power of God with the 10 plagues, and they come out, they constantly forgot about the power of God. They come to the Red Sea, and they see Pharaoh chasing them. Ah, you brought us out here to kill us, Moses. We're going to die. God opens the Red Sea, and they go through, and Pharaoh's army dies. They go a couple of days later. Ah, we got no water. We're going to die. God gives them water. Ah, we got no food. We're going to die. God gives them manna. Ah, we got no meat. We're sick of manna. We're going to die. You know, time after time after God comes through, and they forgot, they forgot, they griped, they complained, they mumbled, they grumbled. We're not a lot different from them, because how many times do we forget the faithfulness of God, how he's led us in the past, how he's provided for us, how he's protected us, how he's displayed his supernatural power in our lives. And because the Lord knew that was Israel's tendency, he wanted to build a memorial, a monument that they could remember and then also teach their kids, future generations, that God was faithful. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan. So they're all through, 2 million, 3 million, how many of our people? They're all over the Jordan, and the priests are still standing there in the river. I'm just going, did they swap priests out because they're just holding the ark? You know, I don't know. It doesn't tell us what they did. But the Lord spoke to Joshua, and he says, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry these stones over with you. Leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Verse 20. Those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what are these stones? Because they kind of built them into a monument. They stacked them on top of each other. Verse 22, you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you fear the Lord your God forever. God used that to show God's been faithful now. He was faithful 40 years, and he wanted them to keep telling the story of his faithfulness. Why? Because we forget his power, his provision, his protection, his faithfulness, how he's never abandoned us. He's a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter the impossible river we're facing, how we can't get through and we'll feel that we're at an obstacle and God stopped leading us. No, he hasn't. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Earlier, I shared that we faced some obstacles when we came here to Radius 15 years ago. Last week, I picked up one of my journals from the year of 2010. And I was reading through it, and I saw there is times in the church where we needed decisions to make, and we didn't know which way to go, and just some struggles we were facing in the church and personally. And I saw over and over and over the faithfulness of God. And then I came to this, and I want to share this as I wrap things up. December 15th, 2010. Last night, a semi-truck sideswiped our daughter Erin as she was driving our Honda Odyssey van to soccer practice with all of our kids in it. She was on Wyoming Boulevard in the turn lane to get on the on-ramp to I-25. And as they're turning in the turn lane, he just drove right over the front end of the van. It was a hit and run. Jesus, thank you for protecting our kids from harm. No one was hurt. Then as Erin was stranded in the intersection, a girl in a Jeep from the oncoming traffic slammed into her, T-boning the van. The kids were protected again. If they had been in our Honda Civic, the truck would have driven over them, crushing the car. Our kids might be dead, for sure, seriously injured. Lord, thank you for looking over them. And I was just going, thank you, God, because today, 14 years later, our lives could be so, so different. All of our kids could be dead without them. There would have been no more swim meets. There would have been no choir concerts, piano recitals, football games. There would have been no late nights doing math. No graduations. No tearful farewells at a college 100 miles away as we're dropping them off and leaving them. Been no weddings. We wouldn't have our three grandsons. And our lives would be so, so empty. But God was faithful. I don't know what you're facing as you're following the leading of God in your life. You might be facing obstacles. Maybe you've turned away. But friends, I want you to know, no matter what's going on, he's faithful to lead your steps and your stops. Obey him. Follow him because God is faithful. Let's pray. Lord God, you promised to preserve our going out and our coming in now and forever. You're faithful to lead, and I pray that you would help us to seek you, pursue your presence, and follow your guiding. How many of you this morning, you say, man, Craig, I want to be led by God, but I'm struggling with that. And maybe your struggle is you've made a wrong turn and you feel like you've messed up and God can't lead you anymore. And he says, just repent and come back. Maybe for others of you, you've been following his leading and you're now at a Jordan River, at an obstacle, and you don't know what to do. It seems impossible to get across and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. Others of you, maybe you say, I don't know what God wants me to do. And the answer for you is you just need to pursue his presence. Spend time in his word. Spend time in prayer. Seek him and he'll show you what to do. Some of us, maybe it's consecrating ourselves. God's convicting you of things in your life that you're walking in disobedience, and you need to say, God, forgive me, make me holy. I will start to follow you. Where others, maybe you just need to trust that where God takes you, He's going to provide. He'll open the doors. He'll do it in His timing. Be patient. Don't work in your own effort. Trust God. And others, you just need to remember His faithfulness. How God, what He's done before, He'll do it again. Again, in His time, when the pillar moves, moves. When the pillar stops, stops. When the ark moves, move. When the ark stops, stop. Follow His presence. How many this morning you'd say, I want to follow the leading of God in my life, and I'm committing myself, consecrating myself to do everything in my power to follow the leading of the Lord. Just put your hand in the air today. Many hands are up. Lord, I pray right now for every person here, for those online who are watching or raising your hands. I pray right now, Jesus, you would give peace where there's been anxiety and just a raging Jordan River. Give them peace, calm that sea inside of them. Father God, I pray for those that are repenting, God. Show them that you're faithful. If we confess our sin, you're faithful and just and forgive us our sin. And you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, for those who feel impatient because you're not doing anything, help them just to wait on you, to pursue your presence and to move when you show it. For those who are discouraged, they doubt, God, help them to remember your goodness. The goodness of God, how you've never failed them before, and you're not about to start now. Meet every person and lead them. Show them the promised land, the new ground you want them to take. I thank you, Jesus, that you're faithful. There may be some of you here this morning, and you find yourself at a place where you're not a follower of Jesus. You're not a Christian. You've never surrendered the leadership of your life to Christ, and you know today that you need to do that, that you need to confess your sin. You realize that Jesus died for you and that you need to say, forgive me, and Lord, I want you to take control of my life. I want you to lead me and guide me. If you need to become a follower of Jesus, no one looking around, just put your hand in the air and say, Craig, that's me. I need God to save me from my sin. I want Him to be my leader. Just put your hand up in the air and you can put it back down. Anyone in the house this morning? Those of you who are joining us online, if God's speaking to your heart and you know that you need to become a follower of Jesus, just put your hand up and say, God, here I am. Forgive me. Receive me. I want a relationship with you. I want you to lead me. Anyone else in the house this morning, you'd say, that's me. I want to become a follower of Christ. Just put your hand up. Anyone here? I'm going to say this prayer. I would like each person to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for all I've done wrong. I turn from my sin and I'm turning to you. I put you in charge. Thank you, God, for loving me and leading me. I love you. And I will follow you and wherever you lead. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.